fortunate to have with us Brother Teo Kian Kun, who will give us a Dhamma talk this morning. Title of the talk is Understanding Life, Its Meaning and Purpose, according to the Buddhist teachings. Yeah. Brother Teo Kian Kun graduated from the University of Malaya in Civil Engineering in 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner cum meditator since 1971. Since his retirement in 2001 from his successful engineering career, he has been sharing his spiritual understanding and experiences with all those who are keen in their search for true happiness, peace, liberation, and also to become more virtuous and nobler and wiser human beings. It is Brother Teo's hope that Dharma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth and cultivators will be able to make use of his sharing of the truth to develop a better understanding of life and to help others and to be of great blessings to all of life, all of humanity. He has also counseled and helped many people with severe depression, be it due to career, health, marriage, financial, relationships problems, or other karmic conditions, to recover beautifully via his sharing of the very penetrative Dhamma, or the truth as taught by the Buddha. Apart from giving Dhamma talks at various centers, conducting meditation retreats, and leading spiritual trips, he also conducts weekly meditation cum Dhamma classes at Wu Pichingse, a Mahayana Vihara on every Sunday afternoon, at Subang Jaya on every Thursday night, and also at his Petaling Jaya SS2 residence on every Tuesday night. Brothers and sisters, let us put our palms together and say sadhu to Brother Teo. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, can you all hear me at the back? Oh, okay, good. So, thank you so much, Brother Pang, for the kind introduction. And a very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we meet again. I remember about 3 months ago, August 18, if I'm not wrong, I was here delivering a simple Dhamma talk on the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. This teaching is very important because it's part of the Buddha's teaching under his first sermon when he met the five ascetics not long after his enlightenment. And these three turnings correspond to the three types of wisdom that the Buddha spoke of: Suttamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. So after that, I received a call, I think a notice from Brother Sui An, say, Brother Chim again invite me to give a talk. I said, no problem, which is today. I asked for the title. They asked me back, any title. Then I was contemplating what is best for devotees like you all. So finally, I gave them 2 suggestions. One of them is what you see today. Understanding life is meaning and purpose from a Buddhist perspective. To me, this is very important. Because if you cannot understand life, you cannot live life. True or not? Huh? You agree? How many of you really understand life? Huh? Nobody understands life. Well, what are you doing here? like Reverend Suwano say, gong gong jia, gong gong tua, gong gong si. Everything also ignorant, delusion. But as a Buddhist, we are more fortunate. We don't have to live life that way. Because according to the Buddha, life can be very beautiful, very meaningful, and full of uplifting if you know how to live it with wisdom, with understanding. Well, suffering need not be according to the Buddha. Life really is very, very meaningful. And for those who understand, it's not only meaningful, it's wonderful. Yeah. And the other title that I gave them is success in life following the Dhamma way or the righteous way. So both are relevant to life, because 3 months ago is the teaching mainly focusing on the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. That is the Dhamma aspect, the cultivation aspect. But today I would like to integrate the teaching back into life so that you can understand life clearly. So that end of the day, before you leave this hall, you will truly understand the beautiful meaning of life. Then to you, hopefully, life has great meaning. Then you will know how to plan your life, live your life in accordance with the Dhamma way. Because as a Buddhist, you are indeed very, very fortunate, very blessed. Because Lord Buddha, our great teacher, he is not a normal being. He is a very special being, very unique in his understanding of life. At the time when he was born, 2,600 years ago, you can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever born. He is not only enlightened, he is also fully enlightened. So in that sense, as a Buddhist, we are really fortunate. Because his teaching is so beautiful. It not only let us understand life, it summarizes to us all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. And I always refer it to as the secret of life. The moment I understand the secret of life, I will know how to live life. True or not? Huh? And what is the essence of the Buddha's teaching? What is the essence of the Buddha's teaching? Don't tell me you all don't know. Huh? Oh, that is his advice. That is his advice. The advice of all Buddha. But the essence of his teaching is what? What did he teach? Ah, very good. Sadhu, thank you. The Four Noble Truths. As a Buddhist, you must always remember this. Why are these called Noble Truths? Noble Truths is because these are true. When you understand, you become noble ones. And noble ones are enlightened beings during the time of the Buddha. They call them the Aryas. Why are they called noble ones? Because they are very noble in all aspects of life. They understand life thoroughly. They have great wisdom. They are very noble in their understanding of life. They are very noble in the way they conduct themselves. They not only got right understanding leading to right thought, right speech, right action and right livelihood. They constantly cultivate with the four right effort. They are always mindful, heedful, aware. And lastly, because they have this mindfulness developed so stable, they are in the state of samadhi all the time. Their mind are always collected, unwavering. That's why they can see things as they are. They can awaken to Dhamma, the truth. They can become enlightened. Enlightened means they have no more problem with life, no more suffering, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. That's why this topic is very important. And when you understand this teaching, your life changes. You can make a decision to transform your life from a heedless way of living life without understanding to a very noble way of living life with understanding. That's why life can be very beautiful, very meaningful, and also very wonderful if you know how to live it with understanding. Because according to the Buddha, suffering need not be. You don't have to go through all the suffering, the misery in life. Nothing in this world can make you unhappy and miserable when you understand this teaching. That's why this teaching is very unique. And you will, to look at the title of the talk, you will observe three or four very important aspects of the title. First is to understand life, understanding life. If you don't understand life, how can you live life? True or not? Yeah? You cannot live life without understanding, isn't it? After you have understood life, then only you can talk about its meaning and purpose. Otherwise, you can't. So this is where you have to really look at life. Then as a Buddhist, we have the advantage. We are so blessed. We are so fortunate, like I explained just now. That's why I add in the last part from a Buddhist perspective. Because the world is very strange. Different people have different meaning and different purpose to life, because everyone is different. True or not? Yeah? Do you agree with that statement? Everyone is different. Because it depends on the individual, isn't it? Your purpose, your meaning is different. And it depends on your life priority and your life situation. So to normal people, even the Westerner, they have this teaching. I don't know how many of you have heard of this teaching. They call it the Maslow's need hierarchy. Those who study management, they will understand. So let me write down. They use this Maslow's need hierarchy to guide them. And this Maslow's need hierarchy, there are various stages of needs. For normal people, the most important thing is basic need, according to Maslow's need hierarchy. So this basic need is what? Huh? Can I have some help from the floor? Very good. Food and shelter. So this basic need is most important. If people don't have food on their table and a roof over their head, they cannot talk about other purpose and meaning of life. True or not? The first thing is basic need. Food and shelter. After you have food and shelter, what do you look for? Very good. Job security. So, most of you who come out to work, do you have this? Huh? You have, isn't it? Unless you are without job. Then you go and see Sui An. He got a website on career, job, CV and all those things. Or you go to the ministry. They may help you. But SJBA, I think you can find a lot of job among Buddhists. That's what Sui An is trying to help. So after you have job security, what is your next need? Yes. A sense of belonging and love. True or not? So a sense of belonging and love. So this one means you think of having a relationship, starting a family. So this aspect of life is very important, to have a good relationship, to start a family. So just now, when I came in, I met Pang and Angie, because they invited me to attend their grandchildren's, I think 3 months, you call it what? 3 months old. They just want to have a simple celebration. So I congratulated them. So when you have good relationship, when you are able to start a family, then you can have those type of joy, understand or not? Especially your relationship with your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your good neighbors, your colleagues, your friends. So human being is a gregarious being. We need companionship. We need relationship to be happy. And according to international authentic scientific survey, one of the most important criteria for long life is what? To have good relationship. Understand? Otherwise you end up miserable, unhappy, depressed. That's why this teaching is very important, very timely. Yeah. But to the Western people, they have identified this basic need for normal people very well. I should congratulate them. But when you understand the Buddhist teaching, you go way beyond what they understand, which is very, very important. Okay? I move on. What is the next one? Fourth one is what? After you have achieved the first three, what is the fourth thing you look forward to? Of course, health is one of them. But they more generalize it. They generalize it with this word, self-esteem. You know what is self-esteem? After you have all this, you look for what? Status. Prestige. Correct or not? A sense of accomplishment. So self-esteem is status, prestige. Recognition. So status, prestige, recognition, then a sense of accomplishment. Of course, during this phase, it has a lot to do with your working life, true or not? Your career, your whatever business or whatever thing that you are good at and you want to do. So most of the time it's related to your job, to your business. If you are successful or if you get promoted, then a certain thing were to go your way, then you achieve maybe good result. Then self-esteem will bring for all this status, prestige, recognition, a sense of accomplishment. Then what do you want to buy? Nice car. True or not? Nice car. Yeah? Nice house. What else? Beautiful wife. And also handsome husband. Of course you can add. Then you can pamper yourself. Okay? With all that travel. Indulge yourself a bit. If you can afford. Why not? You have the condition. Why not? So these are the things that one can develop and do for the Western society. Then after that, if their ambition is very high, there is one more level. What is the last level? What is it? Ah, yes, very good. Self-actualization. Self-actualization, huh? This one is you challenge yourself. You reach the, they call pinnacle of your career. You have the highest fulfillment in life. So this one is something that the individual want to achieve. Highest fulfillment in life. 1L or 2L? 1L, huh? But the problem arises when people don't understand this. Because two different people, different religion, they have different ideas. Different understanding. That's why to them, self-actualization sometimes can be very detrimental to the world, very negative, because their thought process is very funny. So when they do those things, it can cause a lot of disruption. But for some, maybe to them, the highest fulfillment in life is to achieve what they want to achieve, especially people who are in the field of sports and all those things. But one thing I realize these people neglect is, just now our brother Adam mentioned, is health. Do you realize? They strive for all this at the expense of their health. So if you don't take care of your health, you don't develop them all through the proper means, the righteous way or the Dhamma way, then you can get yourself into trouble. True or not? Because when you fail to achieve, what happens? The Buddha's teaching is, when you cannot get what you want, what happens? Stress, unhappiness, frustration. True or not? You expect to be promoted, not promoted. Your colleague, whom to you is not so smart, not so hardworking, and yet they get promoted. So all this frustration, unhappiness, misery, sorrow is a type of suffering. Then a lot of people didn't realize to be the world number one in sports, any field, at any one time, any event, there can only be one champion, isn't it? True or not? So how many will be frustrated? A lot down there, isn't it? In school, it's the same. When you study, the top students are only how many? So when you understand this, life becomes different. You try your best, understand or not? If you have tried your best, nobody can fault you. Nobody can blame you. Even your parents will be proud of you. Unless they are the type of parent, kiasu one. Then that one is your karma also, nothing to do with them. Because last time you treat your children the same. Your children, you also force them to be number one. Understand or not? Otherwise, come back kena scolding. If you can appreciate life, you understand the law of karma, you will not do that. Because last time you do that, they say now you have parents who do the same to you. Understand? Kia su one. So they always want to compare. Because the neighbor will come along, hey, how your son perform? My son got first, no? There can only be one first in the class. So how to give a reason that you are at least comparable? Then you say your son got second. He checked with the son. The son said, no lah, he is above average. So, status, this one, prestige, recognition, all this, the eight worldly conditions, Buddha said, you have to be careful. Yeah. So, this is the first mundane aspect of meaning and purpose to life. So this one can also help normal people. But our today's topic is understanding life is meaning and purpose from a Buddhist perspective. So from a Buddhist perspective, how do we look at things? As a Buddhist, what is your understanding of life based on the teaching of the Buddha, the Four Noble Truths? What is the Four Noble Truths? I already explained just now. I heard suffering again. Life is suffering. No! The Buddha says suffering need not be. Okay, I go through you again. If you cannot remember, you go and look for that video. 3 months ago on. I think 18 August. Huh? 2019. Huh? I think it's in the video in our website. You go and Google, huh? brotherteo.com. Then you go to YouTube. You can find this talk. Three turnings. Oh, sorry. Three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. I describe in detail the Four Noble Truths in that day's talk, and it's a very good talk. You should listen to it. So now I will briefly run through. The Buddha said under the first turning, he proclaimed all the Four Noble Truths. If you listen and you can understand, you develop a type of wisdom which he calls Sutta-maya-panya. Wisdom born of hearing the sutta. And his sutta or discourse of the Buddha is very simple. First Noble Truth, he explained about the realities of life and existence. He said all of us living beings, not only human beings, if we live long enough, we will encounter these eight realities of life and existence. Birth, old age, sickness and death. Separation from loved one and prized possession. When you are with people whom you don't like. When things don't go your way. When you cannot get what you want. When your expectations in life are not met. And finally, he summarized all of suffering as the final summary, the eighth reality. He said, in short, it is due to living beings' self-delusion or ignorance that condition them to grasp onto the five aggregate of form and mind, which is the human being. We are the five aggregate of form and mind, as the me and the I and the self and the personality that leads to the grasping of it. He called it the upadana khandas, the grasping aggregate. They are the cause of suffering. So that one is meditative, meditation. If you want to go into it, you can. Then you can become enlightened, awakened. Then you can have the good life. Then you can live the noble life of an enlightened being. An enlightened being is a being that has the wisdom, no longer suffer. They can experience the deep inner peace, inner calmness, inner stillness and silence of mind. And there is so much joy within their heart. They are always happy. They are always peaceful. Nothing in this world can make them unhappy and miserable. So this first Noble Truth reality, the Buddha is trying to explain to you the prevalence of suffering. When you confront all this eight reality without wisdom, you suffer. He said you become miserable, you become afflicted, you become sorrowful, unhappy. It can lead to depression. You will have a lot of fear, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, especially old age, sickness and death. Sometimes birth too. Sickness, health problem, you all know. If you neglect your health, it can be traumatic. Nowadays, there are a lot of traumatic disease. Then career also same. The fear of losing your job. The fear of dying. The fear of death. Then relationship breakdown. When you have problem with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, with your brothers and sisters, with your good friends. So all this can lead to separation. Then when you cannot get what you want, then when you are in a group of people who bully you, or who make life difficult for you, the Buddha called it when you are with people whom you don't like, people who harass you, put pressure on you, stress you out, and make you miserable. So career life, everything has this problem. So after the first noble truth, the Buddha never say life is suffering. He said there is a lot of things in life, the reality, if you confront them without his understanding, his teaching, you will suffer. That is the meaning of the first noble truth. He never say life is suffering. He said prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere for people who don't have the understanding of this teaching. Then second noble truth, he addressed the first noble truth problem. He said whatever cause of suffering under the first noble truth, under the eight conditions, when you confront them and you become afflicted, the cause is always craving, born of self-delusion. That's why you crave, you desire, you want to have, you want to own, you want to achieve, all this. So the Western philosophy actually all fall into that. But initially, the basic need, you got no time to suffer, isn't it? As long as you got food, you will work, isn't it? Sick also work, understand? Because you need food on the table. Yeah. But when you become more and more fortunate, that's how your craving grow. You realize or not, every of these need hierarchy is a craving towards further success. Further success. Then when you cannot get what you want, misery arises. That's what the noble truth is. Then the Buddha goes on to the third noble truth. He said there is a third noble truth that promises you enlightenment in the here and the now. Suffering need not be, he said. When you understand his teaching, means you understand the noble truth of suffering. You know the cause behind suffering. You can manage your life, isn't it? You know how to address it, isn't it? Don't tell me if you know that these are the cause of suffering and the cause is craving and attachment due to self-delusion, you still allow yourself to be trapped in it. Isn't that delusion? Foolishness. So that's why the teaching is so beautiful. He said there is a third noble truth that can allow you to have this joy within. He said suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, before you die, is possible. And he never stopped there. He continued with the fourth noble truth. He even teach you how to do it. He said the way to end all suffering is the fourth noble truth. He said, if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So this is the most beautiful part. That's why train your mind, cultivate your mind, develop right view, right understanding to understand life. Then if you want to make a difference to your life because you are a Buddhist, what must you do? You must follow the advice of the Buddha. And where is the advice of the Buddha? Written on your wall. At the back. Not in front. Outside wall. Dhammapada verse 183. Heard of it? Of course they put do good. They put avoid evil. They didn't put avoid all evil. The word all is missing. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyodhapanang etang buddhana sasana. This is the advice of all Buddhas. Sabbe is all. Papasa is evil. Akaranang. He said, if you avoid all evil, do good, then purify your mind. This is noble evil path. This will lead to the end of all suffering. So very easy to live life. And the Buddha worried that you may not understand so clearly. He has a lot of Dhammapada sayings that help you. Dhammapada saying words 1 and 2. He said, if you want to live life, understand these two words. He said, our mind, the mundane mind, is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So if you do not train your mind, if you allow your mind to be heedless, then you will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follows the wheel of the car. So if you don't mind suffering, then no need to train. Continue to be heedless and do what you like. It's like free for all. Yeah? But if you do really want to make a difference to your life, he said, you have to understand Dhammapada verse 2, which is the complementary verse. Because under his teaching, he spelled it out very clearly. There is a 5 daily contemplation that you have to contemplate, the Buddha said. The first 4 relate to the first noble truth, reality. He said, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Means this body is not you. But make use of it. It is karmically conditioned for you to come to this existential world to live life, to use. So use it with understanding. Do not go and worry about it getting sick, getting old and die. Because this one is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, not real, anatta, not you. Have to understand that. Then he said, all that you think you own, you possess, things that you held on to dearly, they are all dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. When condition is there, it's as if you own. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. That's why you don't own anything. You come empty, you go empty. How can you own anything? The Mahayana got a very good saying. Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Namo si zu he bi ku ku in between. Wei kong liu lei. Do you understand this saying? When you are born into this world, you come with nothing. When you pass away, you also go with nothing. So in between, why do you fight, strive, and become miserable over nothing? See the foolishness. So, the 4th contemplation is to let you understand. When conditions are there, things arise. That's why you can have things, you can own things. But when condition is no more there, it was separate. So don't be miserable. So if you want to achieve all this, you have to understand the causes and conditions behind. That's why as a Buddhist, you have this benefit, this advantage. You know how to cultivate according to the Dhamma way, the righteous way. Means you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good. Then all these things that comes the righteous way will stay with you. They will not have any karmic consequence. They will be very stable. Now, and you will have them righteously, rightfully yours. Then the 5th contemplation is where the Buddha teaches you how to live life. He said, all of us, not only human beings, all living beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So when you understand this, what will you do? Your life depends entirely on karma, true or not? So you have to take care of karma. That's why the Buddha say, avoid all evil, do good. That advice of the Buddha comes from this right view with regards to the law of karma. Then how to take care of karma?
How to avoid all evil? The Buddha teach you to? Just now you just chant. To keep your precept, isn't it? You break your precept, that violation of precept constitute major evil. That's how you will suffer. Then why do you do good? Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. That's how the Noble Eightfold Path comes to be. That's why from that teaching, you will know the advice of the Buddha is effectively to get you on the right path, the righteous way to succeed in life. So if you take care of karma, karma take care of your life, then you are rewarded. That's how all this you can achieve. But as a Buddhist, I understand it differently. I talk about success in life. Can I rub this off? Oh, got another whiteboard. Bring that one. Somebody have to bring. Oh, here already. Okay. So this one, success in life, you look at the similarity, but it's different. So for us, we are more interested in success in life, isn't it? Success in life following the Dhamma way. Sorry. So let us look at life, okay? First, our average lifespan is how much? 75. Can I agree or not? If you live above, bonus. Agree or not? So nowadays, a lot of people live until 90 something, no? Not only our PM, no? I was told Chi Wei Akong. The sister is 97 or 98 already. And there are a lot of people who are 90 something. So let's say 75. Okay? You divide by 3, how much? 25. Correct? Okay? So we can divide our life into 3 phases. Of 25 years old. So first 25 years old, what do you do? Second, 25. Then third, 25. First 25, what do you do? You grew up as a kid. Okay? Then what do you do? Maybe if you are more fortunate, you go to kindergarten. Okay? Then you go to school. Then you go to uni or college. Then you finish your academic life. But now I was told, yeah, my daughter graduated at the age of 20. So he don't have to use 25 years. For me, I graduated at 24 plus, almost 25 years. So first stage of our life is academic. Okay? Academic. So this academic success, most of us have. Where it's quite easy to develop academic success. You don't have to be the first or the top. But you can be in your own school also, not bad. Understand? Or in your own uni. But to have academic success means, in Malaysia, I think very easy. Nowadays, you call SPM, last time we all call SC or MCE. He is called 8A1. Wow, you already success. Now they got 15A, 16A, 17A, a lot of A's. So it's different. So academic success is important, individual. If you can reach the pinnacle of your academic success, then you consider yourself successful in life. Fair enough, right? Yeah? Then, second thing is what? After that, what do you do? This second phase, what do? You come out to work, isn't it? Huh? This is your career phase, isn't it? Career. Then this is childhood. This is academic. So if you can realize career success, or what we call you can reach the pinnacle of your career life, then you are considered successful, isn't it? So career success is normally related to what? Financial freedom. True or not? You can make enough money so that you don't have to work. That's what a lot of people talk about financial planning, achieving financial freedom. But do it with the Dhamma way. Don't do it the crooked way. Understand or not? That one got karmic consequence. Then also, develop it with Dhamma understanding. When you meditate, there are a lot of advantages. The Buddhist meditation is very wonderful. It straight away trains your mind to be peaceful, to be calm, to have inner peace, leading to inner well-being. That's why those who cannot sleep, got insomnia, depressed people, come and learn meditation. That is the best. No need to pay money, no need to take medication, no need to go and see psychiatrists. Just understand the Buddhist teaching. So inner peace leading to inner well-being will give you the positive energy to reverse your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. That's why all the diseases are caused by negative energy field. So when you meditate with a peaceful mind, with a calm mind, that is just aware, relaxed, and silent, you will experience deep peace, tranquility, stillness of mind. Then you have metta, there is a lot of joy. Then you have Dhamma wisdom. Your life is so beautiful, free of suffering. That's why the Buddhist meditation, the Buddhist teaching is very wonderful. And it can bring about a lot of benefits. First, you sleep well, no insomnia. You improve your health. Third, you have clarity of mind. You can make better decisions, study better, work more efficiently. Then with that clarity, you can see things as they are, you can develop wisdom, you can become enlightened, you can become a blessing to the world. So the benefits of meditation are a lot. When you understand, I'm referring to Buddhist meditation, awareness-based meditation, not thought-based meditation. So financial freedom must be realized through an understanding. And the Buddhist teaching got a lot of enlightenment factor to help you achieve all this. They call it the 37 factors of enlightenment. And for normal people, the first four bases of success or accomplishment is very useful. Yeah. That one, he said, you need four things. Yeah. First is chanda. What is chanda? You must have passion for what you do. Okay? After you have passion, you must have the zeal, virya, Z-E-A-L, to drive you. Then you must have chitta, the willpower, the mind, to go for it. The last one is vimamsa, investigative ability. Every time you investigate, if you fail, investigate why you fail. Then do research. Find out how people succeed. Then try. That's how you achieve and become successful. But it must be Dhamma way, the righteous way. Then after career success, let's say you reach the pinnacle. I don't know how to spell. Forgive me. Pinnacle of the following. Academic success, career success. Third one is what? What is the third one? Try. Huh? Ah, good. Relationship. So quite similar. This one very difficult to achieve. Not many can achieve. Can you have a good family unit? Can your relationship flourish? You got no problem with people, with your loved ones. You have good spouse, good children, good family, good parents, good brothers and sisters. Your relationship with the world is beautiful. So this aspect of career life is not easy. So after you have gone through life, if let's say you reach the pinnacle of your academic career, your career success, academic success, then you manage to achieve financial freedom. Sorry, this is number three. Yeah? Financial freedom is number three. This one is number four. Relationship success. Then the last one is spiritual. Spirituality. As a Buddhist, we look forward to awakening, enlightenment. Your life without the spiritual understanding is not complete. You can have all the wealth in the world. You can be successful in the materialistic aspect. Because these 1 to 4, they are materialistic aspect. This one is spiritual. After I finish this, we come to this. This one is more interesting. Most of you, I think, reach here. Some may reach here. So this is your career phase. For me, life is very simple. After I able to leave the first phase successfully, I reach the pinnacle of my career, my academic success. Then I also have my financial freedom, relationship success. Then I tell myself, this second 25, which is 26 years old until 50 years old. Yeah? You can retire before this phase, it's the best. True or not? The reason being, this third phase, 51 until 75, this is what we call the retirement phase. Retirement. But this one is not guaranteed. Do you understand? Not everybody live above 51. Do you understand? Then life is not just work, work, and work. After working for so many years, you still want to work. For me, I don't. I retired quite early, actually. I retired somewhere here. Yeah. Then what do you do after you retire? Do what you like to do, understand or not? But a lot of people don't know what to do. They ask me, Mr. Teo, what do you do after you retire? So boring, is it? Because no more 9 to 5. Then 9 to 5, call colleague say, I'm working lah. You too free. You wait after hour, then we contact. So a lot of people don't know how to retire. So these people, what must they do? They have to work. Understand? There are three types of people now. One is they need to work. You know the difference, huh? Need to work. Who need to work? You need money. Yeah. Some will say, my children still need further education. Yeah. Or sometimes they graduate already. Say, I have to support them to own a house, a condo. I have to pay their down payment. So a lot of people need to work. Yeah, then you work. Oh, sorry. That one is have to work. Where they need money. You have to work, you work. That is my advice. You need to work because you don't know how to retire, also go and work. But if you know how to retire, no need to work, that is the best. Then what do you do? Between 51 and 75, what are your healthy years? Where you can travel, you can do what you like. What are the healthy years? Until age what? 65, isn't that? That's exactly what I am. So I told myself, after I retire at the age of 40-something, I said, I will do what I like to do. I will live my life. I will spend more time with my children, with my parents, with my loved ones. Then I do what I like to do is Dhamma. I teach Dhamma. Then I also like to invest. I do investment. And if you have all this understanding, then when you are still young, energetic, or still have the health and the means, that is the best part of your career. Your retirement phase is the best part of your life. Because you can do what you like to do. Because you can afford them. Provided you have the means. Then you know how to use your wealth. Whatever that you have developed. And the Buddha said, there are four types of happiness that a lay person can have. That's why don't be gullible. It doesn't mean you cannot have wealth, have property. You can have. The Buddha's advice is don't be deluded by it. Don't attach, don't cling, don't grasp. There are conditions for them to arise. If they arise according to Dhamma way, righteous way, make use of them for the good of the many and yourself. That's why the fourth type of happiness, the Buddha said, the first type is happiness of possession. When you have owned them, when you have received them through the righteous way, means proper career, proper means, that is the first joy you have. I remember my first salary. Oh, I was full of joy. I make that money myself. And I spend it on my parents. I thank them. I have gratitude towards them. Of course, that time, I already have brothers and sisters. I also spend on them. Then that new year was the first year I can really give ang pao. Before that, I collect. Then, after that phase, most important thing is, the Buddha said, after you have the wealth, the means, don't stop there. The second type of happiness is to make use of whatever you have, your wealth, your property, your whatever thing, for the good of the many, including yourself and your loved ones. Spend it on them. Sometimes I use the word pampered in inverted comma. Pamper yourself a bit, understand or not? Don't be so, I don't call it stingy. What is the word? Frugal. Don't be so frugal. Understand? If you really love to travel, love to go somewhere that you haven't been to, go. Don't worry about money. If you have the Dhamma, money will come. If you have the Dhanaparami, money will come. So, a lot of things you can do. Sometimes you can make your parents, your loved one happy by holding their hand and ask them, what can I do for you now that I have the means? As a child, I would like to repay my gratitude. Shall I take you for a trip where you like to go? Or to a good dinner, a good restaurant? A lot of parents will have a lot of joy when they understand that their kid has grown up, have this understanding, and know how to care for them, and are successful in life. When you are successful and happy, your parents will be very happy, I tell you. And if you can think of them, they will even be more happy. That's why these are the things you must do, whatever you can. Then life can be really very happy. Very meaningful. When things go your way, when all this go your way, because of your Dhamma knowledge, your Dhamma understanding. And all this type of happiness, you can have it, the Buddha said. What is the third type of happiness? To be free of debt. Means you don't owe people money. Huh? You go and ask those people who borrow from loan shark. They will tell you how nice is it to be without debt. But sometimes people become funny. You know. Some Dhamma friend come and ask me, but you still got housing loan. No? What do you think? Huh? The bank willing to lend you and you have the means to pay. Why must you pay so fast? Understand? Make use of the money. Invest if you know how to. But if you don't know how to invest, of course, better pay off. Yeah. But a lot of things in life is about understanding life. When you understand life, you will know how to live life. If you don't understand life, you cannot. Then what is the last part about happiness? Huh? No. The fourth type of happiness. To live a blameless life. Where the wise one don't blame you. When you have the means and the money, whatever that money can resolve, resolve it. Understand? Why you want to be so petty and argue with people? Do you understand? That's why I saw a few cases. When I was in the university, I was driving a motorbike. Then one Volvo passed by. I was on the wrong. From a minor lane, I went out and there's an accident. Then the owner of the Volvo was very good. He said, are you hurt? I said, no. But my motorbike is hurt. Oh, don't worry. He took out his name card. He passed to me. You go to the shop, repair, call me. I will go and settle the bill. See? People are so nice. And that was my fault or no? Not his fault or no? That's why later on I realized this must be my parami. In the past I did that. That's why this guy is so nice to me. So sometimes don't be too petty, understand? Everything want to be right. Hey, you blind one. You never see my car coming. Then you know the law. Say, the white line there you don't see. Then you use the wrong speech. Your eye. So all this is no more Dhamma way. No more no way for Ma. So if you have the means, please help to resolve issue, problem. Don't be too petty. Okay, then coming back to this is the best. If you really want to live like these three phases, do you realize the first phase, you have a lot of time, a lot of energy, but you don't have? Very wise, huh? Don't have money. Okay, so this one you don't have. Huh? So here, what do you have? You are very energetic. You work very hard. You got a lot of money. You got no time. Then here, you have a lot of time. A lot of money. No energy. So what do you do? What do you do? You regret, isn't it? What the hell? If I had the time and the money when I'm young. Wow, how beautiful. So this one, don't have time is also don't have help. Unless you know how to take care. True or not? You work until so stressed out until you don't have time to have enough rest and enough proper food. You get gastric, you get yourself into all sorts of health problems and health issues. True or not? That's why I think last Thursday, I used to go for my semi-annual health check and follow-up. Yeah, my wife was with me. So at the age of 65, I went in. I went to IGN, well, government servant, my wife. He said, Mr. Teo, how are you? I said, very good. No wonder, is it? Your health report, 100%, very good. Everything very good at this age. That's why you're very blessed. That's why you have to take care of your health too. Yeah. Kidney, perfect. Liver, perfect. Health also perfect. blood everything, blood sugar also improve a lot. So all this is part and parcel of life. That's why you have to take care. So when you know this, what will you do? Retire early, understand or not? Then part of this without energy will still be there, understand or not? Until the age of 70, I think nowadays you are still healthy. Yeah? Because at 65, I feel I am still healthy. That's why we can still travel. Then we can still do what we like to do. What I did for this phase for my children was, I said, if you really want to experience life, you don't have the means, I can help you. But I saved for them the ang pao and other things. So I said, if you want to use this money, you use. And my son used it for one very good thing. He was a college student, first year that time. He liked one of the girl there. Then he asked me, Daddy, is it a good idea to buy 300 roses and surprise her? I said, how much does it cost? A few hundred ringgit, is it? I said, why do you want to do it? He said, Daddy, if I don't do it, after I retire, I got all the money in the world, I cannot experience that moment. And I told him, okay, go, I support you. And I said, I use your ang pao money. He really go and buy the roses and offer. He was full of joy. I saw it. I took him there. I drive him there. Sunway College, I remember. So do this for your children. Understand? Let them be happy. You cannot do doesn't mean they cannot do. Then if they don't have to work so hard, this career space, teach them how to live life. That's why when you have the Dhamma understanding, you can become very different. Before the time is up, I have to finish off. There is one last thing. What is life? Life is equal to existence, isn't it? True or not? To live life is to go through existence, okay? And existence is time related. True or not? True or not? And the whole spectrum of time is what? Spectrum of time. Past, present, and future. True or not? Past, present, and future. Of these three, which is the reality? Present moment. We are past, already gone. No more reality. Already gone. So this one is no more a reality. Then future also no more reality because yet to come. So the present moment is the only reality in life. Only reality. So to live life and to understand life is very... No need to rub. No, it's all right. Just leave it. They need it, don't worry. Thanks. This is the only reality in life, and it's also the highest in life. So you have to ask yourself, to understand life, I understand this, I understand life, isn't it? I'm not going to waste my time on the past and the future, true or not? If you think of the past, you recall what? Scars of memory, remorse, sadness. Of course, there are good moments, your first love and all those things. But most of them become miserable when they recall the first love. So a lot of things in life, if you don't know how to recollect the past, you get yourself afflicted. If you project your thought into the future, what happens? Fear, worry, anxiety. Because you don't know what your future is going to be like. True or not? Especially you break precept. You cheat on your spouse or your wife. You scared your wife? Come to know about it. You scared the news break. Then you commit certain type of crime. You scared the police come after you. So this thought that project in the future always intensify the fear, the insecurity. Then when you recollect, even a sick person because of the health, they will project their thought. What will happen to me? Will I die? Like the doctor say. 3 months, 1 month, and all those things. So fear arises because of projection of thought into the future. Past, when you recollect the unhappy moments, your scars of memory, your remorse, your negativity of mind state. So if you stay in the present moment, what happens? You are in the meditative state, isn't it? True or not? You are just aware, isn't it? Mindful, isn't it? That's why there is heedfulness. That's why the Buddha say, heedfulness is the path to the dead. The deathless. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. And the heedless are as it did. That is Dhammapada verse 21. That is how you have to understand it to live life. So if you don't want to be spiritually dead, you better train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, to be with the moment in silent awareness. Without thought, you are peaceful. You are aware. You have tranquility, stillness, and joy. But the moment thought arises, you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. All your problems arise. So the question is, moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? What are you doing? You are hardly aware, I tell you. Most of you are heedless. You think a lot. And do you know what most people do? If you are not a cultivator, not a meditator. Most of you are busy thinking, planning, and worrying about your life. True or not? You got so much thing to worry in life. Not only your health, your children's health, your grandchildren's health. Got money also worry, no money also worry. Rain also complain, no rain also complain. The human mind without wisdom, without Dhamma is like that. So this is meditation. This is understanding life. If you know the present moment is the highest in life, you have to meditate. Train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, to be within the moment. That's why the Zen meditation is very good. He said drinking a cup of Chinese tea is Zazen meditation. Because they drink with full awareness without thought. And they are fully aware and conscious of the taste. As it is, without the words, without the concept. And that is life, peaceful, calm, tranquil, still, fully aware. That's why they live life. They are in the moment to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. That is what Buddhist meditation is. That is what understanding life is. And the Buddha even go one step further. He said, all these three are still within the conditioned world. To transcend life, you have to transcend even the present moment. I ask you one question. Is it possible to transcend the present moment? Yeah? Possible or not? The Buddha said possible. Third noble truth. Enlightenment in the here and now, Nibbana, the cessation of form and mind, where your mind completely ceases, even the present moment, the awareness also no more. That is Nibbana. That is enlightenment. That's why it's possible. Can you follow? So to transcend life, you have to transcend even the present moment. And that completes the understanding of life. So hopefully by now, you will know how to plan your life. If you want to have the good life, what must you do? Follow the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil means keep the precept. Cultivate goodness means cultivate noble evil path. Right thought, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the four right effort. Then purify the mind is cultivate heedfulness, mindfulness. Silence your mind, develop awareness more and more, to be with the moment. Then be fully aware, with clarity of mind, so that you can understand life clearly, you can see life clearly. Then with the Dhamma understanding, you will know how to plan your life beautifully, and you can get to live the noble life of an enlightened being, an Arya, who is always peaceful, full of joy, happiness, tranquility and stillness, no more suffering. So suffering need not be when you understand the teaching, the Dhamma. And with this, I will end my today sharing. Thank you.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you very much, Virtue. Do you have any questions? Especially the younger people here? All understood. Very good.
You got any question you can ask, don't worry. Huh? Every question is good question. No such thing as stupid question. Stupid is only to people who don't understand. You know what is question? Question is to create condition for my nature to speak. So whatever question or condition is a good question. So don't worry about the question, you just ask whatever you want to know. Okay? Today I saw a lot of young people. So for a change. Because I think they are more interested in life. They still got a lot of way to go. I think most of them are only here. Or a little bit here. You still got a lot of this numbers of years of good life to live. But if you know this too late, some are already here. Then only they heard this. So what can they do? They can still do a lot of things. Because with Dhamma, you become beautiful. This is not your only life. You can carry this understanding to future life. You don't have to worry. Yes. Pass the mic to our brother there. Yeah. You wait for the mic.
Brother Teo, can you re-explain transcend the present? What do you mean?
Okay. Thank you so much for the good question. You see, when we talk about life, we can equate it to existence, isn't it? Can follow? Existence is to go through time. Okay? The whole spectrum of time is just these three. We define the whole spectrum of time. Past is already gone, no more reality. Future yet to come, also no more reality. So everything is within the present moment. Agree or not? And how stable is the present moment? The moment I talk about it is gone. True or not? Split second is dead and gone. And yet, this is the highest in life. And this is the only reality. So, why are you so confused? Why can't you wake up to this understanding of the Buddha, the reality? How real can life be? When the only reality is the present moment, and the present moment is so infinite, minute. Split second is gone. Split second is gone. Then how real can life be? That is the meaning of impermanent. Anicca leading to dukkha and anatta.
So when you see this, split second is gone, split second is gone, and that is the only reality, you know. A moment to moment life passes by, you know. So if I want to transcend life, I must transcend even that split second, understand? You can follow, huh? And how to transcend that split second? As long as I am in the field of thought, I will be trapped in it. I was still in one of these three. Do you understand? But if I can meditate until my form and my cease, where there is completely without thought, we call it the cessation of form and mind, which is Nibbana, which is the unconditioned. That can be realized in the here and the now before you die. That's how you transcend life. When you are in that unconditioned state, there is no time. That's why it's the timeless. The Buddha said this Dhamma is akaliko, timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. So I hope I explain that thing that you want to know. Eh? Thank you for the good question. Yeah.
Any more questions?
Yeah. Yeah, that lady in front. Yes.
Good morning. I've recently been told by a man in his 70s that life is very scary when one is growing old. The word is scary. So I try to look into his life, and I think that probably he's worried that his wife might leave him first. And he'll be all alone. Children are all busy with their families and overseas. So what can a good way to spare himself or to prepare or manage himself so that he doesn't have this kind of fear, anxiety or worry?
Is he a Buddhist?
He's a Buddhist but not a practicing Buddhist.
Never mind. No need to be a practicing Buddhist. Being a Buddhist easier to let them understand. Do you know why? They don't have something that they believe in, or the Almighty. With that, I cannot explain anything, understand? Because they say that thing is so powerful, Almighty. But if he is a Buddhist, not a practicing Buddhist, at least he can listen to Buddhist teaching. Right? So Buddhist teaching is very simple, like I explained just now. Why go and project the thought? Why does he feel so insecure? Why is life so full of fear? Scary is fear. So the Buddha, under the teaching of the First Noble Truth, he said separation from loved one. If you confront it without this teaching, this understanding, is going to be dukkha. It's going to arise suffering. You will be afflicted. That's why the thought project into the future. Fear that one day the wife or the spouse will separate from him. But the reality of life and existence is, the Buddha said, all these eight realities, not only he go through, each and every one of us also go through. What is the difference between a person who suffers and a person who doesn't suffer? A person who suffers is like him. He doesn't understand. He projects his thought. He calls himself a Buddhist, but he's not a cultivating or practicing Buddhist. That's why he cannot understand this teaching. That's why there is this inherent fear born of self-delusion, that trigger of the thought. The Buddha said, the moment you believe you exist, then you have problem. The form and mind, the personality, the ego. So this personality or the ego, we call it the egoic mind, the I, the atta, it will trigger off the evil roots. First, it will have this selfishness, greed, to want thing, to crave for thing, to own thing, to possess thing. That's why possessiveness coming. Then it can be emotional. When he is unhappy, when things don't go his way, he gets angry. He becomes violent. Then the last thing is, when he projects his thought,
And when he don't have the understanding, there is fear. There is anxiety. Then when he recall the scars of memory, the insecurity arise, the fear arise, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lament, everything develop. So the three evil roots are the roots of all evil that manifest all this. So the Buddhist teaching is for you to understand through meditation that you are not what you think you are. This form and mind, which is the human being, is karmically conditioned out for us to come to this world, existential world, to live life, to experience life, to cultivate, to develop whatever you want. So make use of it. Don't go and deludedly grasp and cling and worry about life. You're supposed to live life, but you come here to worry about life. And who worry about life? The thought worry about life because there is lack of understanding. When you don't have right view, right understanding, when you cannot understand the teaching, you have this problem. When you understand these are reality, not only I go through, everybody go through, then what must I do? Whenever I face such problem, not only that fear and he feel like scary type of problem, even your health problem, let's say you got health problem, you will confront it with understanding. And how do you confront it? You tell yourself, this is the reality of life and existence. First noble truth reality. Not only I have to confront. Everybody in this world have to confront. So if this is the reality, then what must I do? I must accept that the untrained mind is full of fear. Understand that? The untrained mind without Dhamma has this weakness. I accept. Because I am at this stage. Not me, huh? Example to you. So when you are at this stage, you accept means you are at peace. Understand? When you are at peace, what happens? Your thought does not project anymore. Well, you can accept. Do you understand? So when you are at peace, there is clarity. Then you ask yourself, what is happening to me? Why am I so miserable? So unhappy? Why did I feel so insecure? So scary about losing things? But these are reality that will happen, not only to me, to everyone. If I accept this reality, I'm at peace, then my problem is gone. Do you understand? But you keep on thinking about it, the same old habitual tendency, which is wrong thought, will arise. And what are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your insecurity, your unhappiness, your misery. This is the teaching. That's why the Buddha says, with right understanding or right view, you must arrive right thought. What is right thought? Thought of love, compassion. Thought of contentment, appreciation. I must appreciate life. I don't go and worry about life. Understand or not? That's why I appreciate at my age 65, I'm so blessed with a healthy body. All my organs are still functioning very well, serving me very well. And I have all the success. I reach the pinnacle of everything that I mentioned just now, even the spiritual. That's why it can be done. Don't doubt. You have the potential. Every one of us is a potential Sammasambuddha. That's why have faith. Have understanding. Work towards it. Follow the Dhamma way. And all these are possible. I can tell you the best example is when my son was about, I think, 9 years old or 10 years old. He got a classmate, equally good. They are top student in the class. And he liked him. One day, standard 4, I remember, at the age of 10, the friend passed away, died. 10 years old. So when he found out from the teacher, when he asked the teacher, why isn't my classmate in school for the last 4 days? Then the teacher said he will not come back anymore. Then my son asked her, what happened? He's already dead. Wow, he cried. That whole day, he was not himself. He came home, he locked himself up, sad, miserable. Then I sensed something not right. Then I went out, I knocked at the door. Then I talked to him. He refused to talk to me. I said, it's okay, don't worry. Daddy has gone through life. I just want to find out what happened. Because you are so bubbly, cheerful, and happy every day. How come today you come back so different? Something must happen in school. And because I talked to him in such a nice manner, he started to cry. He broke down and he cried. He said, I had this classmate friend. I cannot accept that he died, he said. Why must he die? He's the only friend that I have that I can talk to and all those things. Then I console him. I said, don't worry, come. Daddy gone through life, Daddy can explain to you. It's very simple. Don't worry. I said, sit down. I said, listen. You know, he was already so sad how to listen. But somehow, he wants to find out the answer. So I said, you listen. Before you know about the incident, you were so happy. You were so marvelous in it. You were so beautiful. Of course, with his companion, all those things. So to you, it's like a great loss. That's why you become what you are. This is what the Buddha meant by when you cannot get what you want, when your strong attachment and craving is no longer there. You no longer can get it or have it. That's why when you cannot get what you want, you suffer, you become miserable. And this thing will continue, like it or not. One thing you have to understand is, I say, the truth is, this is a reality. He is already dead and gone. No matter what you do, he is dead and gone. And you know what was the next sentence I told him? It's only a thought. How come it has such power over you and make you so miserable? Then he looked at me, you know. Then he kept quiet. He said, thank you, Daddy. Closed his room. Then I don't know what he did. That night he slept. Next morning he woke up, he came out happily, came to me and said, Daddy, thank you. It's only a thought. And he came out of it. He just came out of it. 10 years old. When you understand this, you understand life. When you meditate, you can transcend. Very easy. Not difficult. Especially this era where the Buddha Sasana is still there. And before I forget, today all my books are at the back there. So if you want those transcript books or whatever, you can go to the table at the back there. Don't worry. If no more, not enough, you can let us know. You contact Sui An. We still have them. So these are the transcript books of the talk that I share. Then they transcribe it out. So you can listen to them. Or you can go to this website, Google, brotherteo.com. Then from the menu, you will have all the home, which is the latest activity. Then you have the publication and all those things. My audio file, video file, the books, the activity, and many other things. There's a YouTube at the end also. All the recording of the talk in video are they are set up properly set up in the YouTube section. You can go and Google them, and you can listen to them. Well, with the video, you can see what I write on the whiteboard. And you can understand. Yeah. You don't believe me. Today's video, you wait till it come out. I will send to Sui An. Sui An can send to your group. Then you watch the video again. It's so much clearer. Because Jin Hao and the sister Tammy who help out, they know how to zoom on what I write. Then you can see them. You sit at the back, sometimes it's a bit small, the words. Especially those that are not so dark. Well, these are the old ink before I got the new ink.
Okay, so I hope I answer your question, Sister Sadhu. Okay. Any more question?
Okay, if there's no more questions, shall we say Sadhu 3 times to Bharatiya? Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Thank you very much, Bharatiya, for spending time this morning to share with us the precious Dhamma, the true Dhamma. Hope that everyone now understand life better and also know how to live life. Brothers and sisters in Dhamma, shall we pay respect to the Triple Gem? Before we do that, probably Brother Teo can help us, also lead us in the maybe a short sharing of merits.
Yeah, sharing of merits. Okay, I will do it the traditional way. Like just now you chant, but not your version, the simplified version. So let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 1.5 hours. Yeah? We start at 10, now it's 10:35. 1 hour 35 minutes. Let us rejoice first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And let us share this merit with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakkantu loka sasana itta watta caam ehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampatihito ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhamiko imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for your patience. Okay, you can pay respect, Triple Gem.
Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem.